Good morning and welcome to Welton Baptist Church. We hope you're doing okay. If you're a guest, then we are so pleased that you're with us. We're praying that God is going to speak to you this morning. If you're a long-term member or you've just found your way into the Welton family, then you are really welcome. Today is the 8th of August and we're continuing in a series called Reunion, exploring the possibility that the gospel is actually way better news than we ever thought it was. Today we're going to be thinking about the goal of the gospel, but that comes after we've spent some time worshipping Jesus. So I want to encourage you, fix your eyes on God, allow him to speak to you, but let's worship before we get into today's theme.
Good morning, everybody. It's lovely to be sharing with you again this morning. Now, over the past 6 weeks, we've been looking in greater depth at the message of the gospel. The gospel is often explained as God loving us so much that he sent Jesus to die for our sins. And if we ask for his forgiveness, we can receive eternal life. And this is all absolutely wonderfully true. But the gospel is bigger than this. See, some see the gospel as a ticket to heaven when we die. And this is a wrong focus because the Bible shows us that what we call heaven is less about a place and more about a person. Because the actual goal of the gospel is to be reunited in relationship with God. Now, if I ask you to describe your house, you may tell me what it looks like, how many rooms it has, if it has a garden. But if I ask you to describe home, you may be more likely to describe the loved ones you live with. Heaven is not just a place, it's a person. Now, in the Old Testament, the Israelites went to the temple to offer sacrifices and meet with God. But when Jesus walked the earth, he became the ultimate sacrifice and refers to himself as the temple. At one point, the Jews were demanding Jesus to perform a miraculous sign to prove his authority. And he says, destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days. And the Jews said, it's taken 46 years to build this temple and you're going to raise it in 3 days. But Jesus wasn't talking about the physical temple. He was referring to himself as the temple and about his own death and resurrection. We don't have to go to a place to meet with God anymore. We go through a person, Jesus, who's offered us reunion with God through his death on the cross. Bruxy Cavey, in his book Reunion, describes the gospel in 30 words. He says, Jesus is God with us, come to show us God's love, save us from sin, set up God's kingdom, shut down religion so we can share in God's life. And today we're going to focus a little bit more on what it means to share in God's life. See, God is love. It is who he intrinsically is. He's the originator and creator of love. And we see this love in the Godhead, the powerful dynamic of love expressed between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's what unifies them, creating the three in one. Love is not a noun, it's an adjective, it's a doing word. So for love to be love, it has to love something outside of itself. It cannot exist on its own. Love is relational, and God is absolute relatedness. So he chose to express that love by creating us in his image. We've been created by love, in love, and for love. Yet we messed up, we went our own way, and decided to live life for ourselves. Yet God didn't walk away from us, he did the opposite. He chose to come and show up in the world as a naked, vulnerable, defenseless baby. This is the God of all creation and the universe coming to us, the created, in naked vulnerability, literally putting himself into our hands so as to mend and restore the relationship with God that we broke. And then he invites us to join his family. See, when we trust in Jesus, he gives us his Spirit, and the Holy Spirit pulls us into the family life of God as God's children. Inside us, God's Spirit moves us to relate to God as our Abba Daddy, a term of intimacy and trust used by little children towards their father. And we become co-heirs with Christ. But what does that mean? Well, the only thing the Bible describes passing down from the Father to the Son is the glory of the Father's affirmation, intimacy, pleasure, and love. This is the inheritance of Christ and our inheritance as well. We're placed on a par with Jesus as his brothers and sisters, ready to receive the same measure of our Father's love. See, love is not just a fluffy feeling or an emotion, but it's a dynamic experience between persons, a form of relating that is self-giving and always exalts the honour of another. Love is ultimately manifest in relationship, and it's most clearly visible when it's extended to the least deserving of love and loves the unlovable. So if you feel that you don't deserve his love or are unlovable, his love is for you. You're valuable to God, so valuable, in fact, that God has gone to extreme lengths to bring you into his love life. Through Jesus, God made room for mankind to be a part of his own intimate fellowship. Jesus came in love to save us, and then he asks us to go out in his name to love and save others. And we see this clearly defined in the New Testament commandments. By the way, did you know that Jesus wasn't great at counting? A Pharisee comes up to Jesus and asks him, "What's the greatest commandment of the law?" Notice commandment, singular. And Jesus answers with two commandments. He says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbour as yourself." Then before Jesus dies, he changes this slightly and says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one that he lays down his life for his friends." Love each other as I have loved you. It's a pretty high calling. See, Jesus knew that the ultimate expression and sacrifice of his love was to lay down his life for others. And then he says, "I want you to go and do likewise." And this may be part of the gospel that we don't always focus on, but we see it here in scripture. See, the gospel message does not stop with us, it starts with us. It's not just about us accepting Jesus and gaining eternal life. The gospel message starts with us having a revelation of God's love for us that we want to pass on and share with others. Did you know that we have greater satisfaction in our life when we move beyond ourselves? Often people grow in their own self-worth when they find a place of serving and giving to others. As Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. We're called to primarily love God, but loving God is not just about focusing on him and ignoring the world around us, because Jesus says, when you love others, you're loving me. In Matthew 25, it talks about Jesus returning. And it says, when he finally arrives, blazing in beauty and all his angels with him, the Son of Man will take his place on his glorious throne. Then all the nations will be arranged before him, and he will sort out people much as a shepherd sorts out sheep and goats, putting sheep to his right and goats to his left. And the sheep are welcomed into his kingdom, but the goats are sent away. Now, who are the sheep and goats? Well, that's up for debate, and it's not something we're going to look at this morning. But let's look at what is of primary importance to Jesus. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Enter, you who are blessed by my Father. Take what's coming to you in this kingdom. It's been ready for you since the world's foundation." And here's why. It says, "I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was homeless and you gave me a room. I was shivering and you gave me clothes. I was sick and you stopped to visit. I was in prison and you came to me." Then those sheep are going to say, "Master, what are you talking about? When did we ever see you hungry and feed you, thirsty and give you a drink? And when did we ever see you sick or in prison and come to you?" Then the king will say, "I'm telling the solemn truth. Whenever you did one of these things to someone overlooked or ignored, that was me. You did it to me." The goats, on the other hand, didn't help those around them, and they were sent away. Sometimes the sins of omission are as serious as the sins of commission. Showing our love for God is so intertwined with us loving others. Love can't stop with us. It has to flow from us to others as it flows from God to us. He's not called us to be observers, but participators, to enjoy relationship and partner with him. We have an amazing privilege of living beyond ourselves and in fellowship with God. We're designed to connect with something greater than ourselves, but we're also designed to connect with each other. So let's take the risk and see people around us not as an inconvenience, but as an opportunity. So what do your opportunities look like? Who is around you? What is your sphere of influence? Who do you come into contact with each day? Now, it might be your family, your workplace, your neighbours, friends, those in your house group or wider church family. It may be someone you pass on the street. Where can you practically share the love of Jesus? Now, this might be micro or macro. It could be as simple as a smile or as radical as a change in lifestyle. But how can we share this incredible love Christ has shared with us? It's not enough to be good people who don't do bad things. Let's aim to be radically loving, sacrificially giving, and love with wild abandon so we begin to look like Jesus. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for this incredible truth of your love that extended down to us, your love that was willing to go to the cross, that your love that was willing to bear so much because of your incredible love for us. And Father, we want to be people that share that love with others, not to keep it to ourselves, not to stop with us, but for it to flow from you to us and through us to others that we meet, those we come into contact with. Lord, would you show us how? Would you show us where? Would you show us when? But may we be imitators of you, Jesus, in all that we do, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for being with us this morning. Our hope and our prayer is that God has spoken to you. If there's something that you'd love to chat through some more, maybe you want to have a cup of coffee, find out a little bit about the church, or more importantly, about God's love for you and what that might mean, then we would love to do that with you. Just drop us an email at hello@weltonchurch.org.uk and we will get in touch with you in the next couple of days and arrange to either give you a call or have a cup of coffee with you, whatever works well for you. We'd love to hear from you, so do get in touch. But for now, have a great week